Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Glory to God. Yeah, the world don't know what's about to hit them. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, that was nice this morning. I enjoyed the children. How many of you know that God loves kids? Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know that Jesus came as a child? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've got a brother that's got a word for you this morning here. And so, Brother Rick, would you come and bring your word? Let me get a mic over here. You need a mic.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Abe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, first of all, before I do the word the pastor talked about, baby dedications to me are very precious. Have you ever seen a picture of an empty field? Maybe this here's an empty field right here. And then there's a big old picture of what they're going to put there. You ever seen that? This is what this reminds me of. It reminds me that, okay, Evelyn, you're a woman of integrity.
Amen.
You're a woman of substance. You're a woman with my name all over it. It's already there, okay?
Come on.
God starts from the end, and then he begins her life. He already called it forth. He goes, that's who she is. Okay, yeah. That's who she is. Now walk to it, Evelyn. And then the Bible tells us this, that a righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children's children.
That's right.
Okay? That's why it doesn't say that a father leaves an inheritance. It says that a righteous man. So strive to be righteous. Strive to walk in the presence of God like never before. Because when we become men, I mean, I tell people this. You know, to me, I love the Lord so much. I go, but I know there's more, Lord. I know you have more in my life. And I just love God with all my heart, all my might, all my soul, and all my strength. You know, and I love my pastor. You know, it was last week, Pastor John was talking about, you know, if Jesus was here, what would he look like? There he is.
No.
There he is.
Praise God.
Because we are made in his image. Okay, so if you want to see Jesus, look at yourself.
Yeah,
God
come
made
on,
you
in
his
go.
Image. You know, he's fun to be with. You know, sometimes the pastor's lonely crying. Jesus was there sometimes. He felt that. You know, he felt all the stuff that we go through.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to sing you a song that I made years ago. I was telling Pastor about it. And I go, you know what? I want to make a Christmas song that I can sing anytime I want to sing it. But if you guys heard that song, you better watch out. Okay? I changed the words on it, okay? So let's go. You better not sin, you better not lie, you better not cuss, I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming for us.
Amen, come on.
He's writing a book, checking it twice, gonna make sure if you're serving him right. Jesus Christ is coming for us. He knows if you've been stealing, he knows if you've been lying, he knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for your own sake.
Yeah.
So you better not sin. You better not lie. You better not cuss. I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming for us. There you go.
Amen. Man. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Praise God. Hey, that's a word. Amen. That's good. Praise God. Let me take you into Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Hallelujah. Most of you know this scripture has been spoken and preached for years. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, God. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless your word, Father. Father, as we come before you, Father, your word tells us, Father God, that you, Father, you desire that your people would hear you, your sheep would hear you, Father. So, Lord, as we speak this morning, Father God, not only in this time, but, Father, as the songs that were being sung earlier, Father God, that your spirit would speak to your children, Father. Father, we thank you for it and we praise you for it. Give us a word fresh from the ovens of heaven, God, fresh bread. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Everyone say Emmanuel. What does that mean?
God with us.
God with us. Amen? Is God with you?
Amen.
Absolutely. Can you get away from God? Even the sinner can't get away from God. How many know that? Nobody can get away from God. How many know that the eyes of the Lord search all over the earth? He sees everything. Is that right? He sees the intents of your heart. Isn't that crazy? He sees everything. He doesn't miss a lick. Amen? Praise God. Isn't that an amazing God? Think of all the people that are in the earth today. And he knows each and every one of them. He knows them by name. Amen? He knows every star in the heavens by name. Isn't that crazy? He is an amazing God. And I think we're just barely seeing a little bit of him, what we find in the scriptures. There's more in here than we've ever even realized. How many say amen to that? God is bigger than what we ever thought he was. Amen? Hallelujah. And we're going to talk about a story today where God sends his son into a sinful world. Amen? It was his plan. Hallelujah. So Isaiah chapter 7, starting at verse 14, this is actually the power of verse 2. It says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel." God himself says, I'm going to give you a sign. I will give you a sign that a virgin will conceive. Hallelujah. This promise was made probably, it's not real, for certain, but it was something like 742 years before Jesus came onto the earth. Isn't that crazy? 742 years, somewhere in that area. 700 to 742, 750, I don't know. I was trying to figure it up, and I couldn't figure it up, so I decided to go ask Siri. Amen? She said 700 years. But I found it in another Bible where it says 742, that this prophecy was given 742 years before the actual event. Isn't that crazy? That is amazing, isn't it? And there are amazing prophecies about Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read the story about the Lord. And so I want you to go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Starts out in the sixth month. It's talking about the sixth month that Elizabeth was pregnant. The Spirit of God had, the angel of God had gone to talk to Elizabeth, who was old and hadn't had children, went and spoke to her husband, Zechariah, that she was going to have a baby. And so she was pregnant. She was 6 months pregnant. And this is in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. And his kingdom, and of his kingdom, there shall be no end." Amen? Hallelujah. I love it. Then Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Amen? How many know it had to be this way? Absolutely had to be. Because man, since Adam, had sinned. There was no man on the earth that if she got pregnant, that baby would be called the Son of God. So it had to be that the Holy Spirit would speak a word into her womb and bring forth a child. Amen? Isn't that cool? It had to be that way. Hallelujah. Sinless. Because Adam sinned. It had to be that God would place a child in her womb by speaking that word into her. I'm going to read verse 35 again. It says, "And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." Verse 37 says this, "For with God nothing shall be what?" Can God do whatever he wants? Can he do it? Whatever you're thinking of, can God do that? Absolutely. God can do anything. If he created this thing just by speaking a word, can he do anything? What is too hard for God? There's nothing too hard for God. Hallelujah. And I love Mary's response. She says this. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from him. Can I tell you how important it is to receive what God says to you? Can I tell you how important that is? And for Mary to say, "Be it unto me as according to your word," that's an incredible thing. That's the Lord speaking to her. I mean, that is a humble servant saying, "Lord, when you speak to me, I'll answer. I will answer." And she said yes. How many say amen to that? Praise God. Had probably no idea, because if you remember when they were in, after Jesus was born, they were in a temple, and a little man named Simeon came and talked to her about Jesus. And he said, "A sword will pierce your heart." The angel didn't say that part, did he? Didn't talk about how a sword would pierce her heart, and she would be in sorrow because of what this child was coming to do. Amen? How many know that Jesus was sent? That Jesus was in heaven with the Father. You know, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus said, "You're going to go." This was before even the foundation of the earth, because God just knows. From the beginning to the end, he knows. He already knows what you're going to do 3 weeks from now, two weeks from now. He already knows the blessing he's going to put on you. He's already planned for it. So he said, "Jesus, you're going to go. Will you go and die for the sins of the world?" "Yes, I will." When Abraham had taken his own son up on the mountain and went to kill him, remember that? God told him, "Sacrifice your son, your only son." And he went to kill him, took a knife to slay his son. And then he was stopped by the angel of the Lord. And then the angel told him, I believe it was the Lord speaking. He said this, "I will provide myself a sacrifice because you have not withheld your son." This is what the angel of the Lord told Abraham. This was, I believe, what he was talking about was bringing a son to die for the sins of the world. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. How many are glad Jesus came? Anybody here not bad, not glad? I mean, Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is Matthew chapter 1. Starting at verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." The thing was that if she was found to be with child, she was already espoused. If she was found to be with child, there was a good chance she could be stoned. How many of you know that? Do you know that she could have been stoned because it was a sin? And she could have been cast out. I mean, it would have been bad for her if people would have found out that she was pregnant before marriage. "And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. How many of you like this statement that the Holy Spirit said to him, that the angel said to him? I like it because we're men. We're just men. Is that right? And you got your beautiful fiance standing in front of you, and she tells you, I'm pregnant. And you said, but I haven't been with you. What do you mean you're pregnant? Is that right? How many of you know? How many of you know there's a lot of things going through Joseph's mind? What? You say, what? Who was it? It was God. Yeah, right. It was God. All right. Who was it? No, it was God. No, I don't believe that. And I like that the angel came and told him, the thing conceived in her is by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Praise God. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Ah, beautiful. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen? Amen. Joseph said his name is Jesus. The angel told Mary and Joseph that this child would be named Jesus. It's really very, very, very precise words that the angels would speak to him. It was a very precise prophecy, is that right? That a virgin would conceive of the house of David. It's a very, very pointed prophecy that this is going to happen. Do you know that if Isaiah was in our day today, that if he spoke something like this word right now, that people would, before, even if he died, they'd call him a false prophet. Why? Because his word didn't come to pass. That's what they'd say. Well, his word never came to pass. He's a false prophet. No. It's not. See, when you speak what you know, when you speak the word of God and you know this is the word of God, you just speak it. It's not up to you to cause it to happen. How many know that? It's not up to you. 6 months after Isaiah had spoken it, I don't see it anywhere in the word of God where he says, you know, maybe I made a mistake about the virgin. No, he didn't. Never said anything like that. You see, when God speaks to you, you know this is the word of God. I'm going to just say it. Just say it. Amen? Hallelujah. Can I tell you that God is still calling people to prophesy today? Amen. Do you know that? He's still saying, say the words that I give you. Don't add to it. Just say what I give you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes I add a little joke in there or something, man. I say, God, I throw it in. I told God one time, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be funny. It just comes out. I don't know. And you know what he told me? He said, Henry, that's the way I made you. Don't worry about it. Oh, okay, cool. So now I like calling people up like, Rick, hey, man, sing this song, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus was sent for you. God looked at you. Listen, I don't care who you are in the building. He looked at you and he said, I'm going to send Jesus for you. For you. Amen. Look at your neighbor, say for me. Yeah. Look at your neighbor on the other side, say, nah, for me. No way. He came for you. You. Hallelujah. He was sent by God for you. Do you know you're privileged? If you understand the gospel of Jesus, if you understand what God has done, you're a privileged person. You stand in a great place. Hallelujah. God's promises are for you, not against you. Amen? How many of you know that? In this world today, God's for you and he's not against you. He wants to promote you and build you and strengthen you. And he will give you a word here and there. Now, here a little, there a little. And if you listen, he'll promote you and he will cause you to walk like those that are around you that don't believe in him. He'll cause you to walk and they'll say, what's with that guy? What does he have that I don't get? I don't understand. Why is this guy whatever? Come on, man. Because God is with you. Amen. Hallelujah. He was sent for you. I want to take you to Galatians chapter 4. Hallelujah. My wife told me, hey, let's get the word out, man, and go to cookies. No, she didn't tell me that. Praise God. She couldn't get after me for that. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 4. And I love this. I love this section. I mean, you know, it's good to look at the word of God and just think about what you're saying. And a lot of times when you're just thinking, you'll hear another scripture and the Holy Spirit will give you another word, another scripture somewhere. You go find another and you go look at that. And before you know it, you're all over the place. And sometimes, like with me, I said, man, where did this start from? Hallelujah. Glory to God. But here's Galatians chapter 4. And starting at verse 4, it says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Is that all right? Is that a good deal? See, Jesus came to redeem you. He was sent for you. He came to redeem you. Redeem. I've asked this question before. I said, what does a redeemed man look like on the earth? Do we have an example? We do. His name is Jesus. And God has made sure that we have a book that we look at. We can see what Jesus was like. Jesus is an example to us about what a redeemed man looks like. Is that okay? He is a man. You know that we're talking about how 742 BC that Isaiah had made the prophecy about the virgin conceiving and having a son, calling him Emmanuel. Well, the BC stands for what? Everybody knows that, right? Before Christ. What does AD stand for? After death. Well, that's what I thought too. It's Annus Dominus. Is that right? Did I say that right? Annus Dominus, because I saw you, I heard you saying it. AD means anno. It's a Latin word, and you know what it means? The year of our Lord. We are in the year of our Lord. That's what AD is. We're in the year of our Lord. But I like the word Dominus because it has it's the year that Jesus came to dominate. His kingdom shall have no end. Amen? We are in the year of the Lord. And God sent his son to redeem you. He gave him not only to pay for your sins, but so that you could look at him and say, this is how a man that is redeemed operates in the world. He walks on water. He heals the sick. He casts out demons. Is that right? He lays down his life. Is that right? How many know that these are things that God has given to us? These same things. If you see Jesus, if you see him in the Word of God, he's operating to show you how you can operate in the earth. Is that okay? That's cool. That's really neat. But he's sent to redeem you, to buy you back. Put up that word redeem. What does redeem mean? Man, I can't read any of the screens. So if somebody, did you put it down? Did you type it in, Abe? Yeah, it's coming. Okay, redeem. Basically, I already said it already. Need to redeem that computer, huh? Come on, man. Pray for this. Hallelujah. I'm gonna go ahead and tell you. To redeem, it says this, the act of buying back something that was previously lost. Jesus said this, I have come to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. You see, he's coming back to redeem. He's coming back to bring back what was lost. Who lost it? Adam lost it, but God is saying, hey, man, these are mine. I will redeem them. Anybody that will hear and believe what Jesus has done for them will be redeemed. Is that right? You'll be bought back. Hallelujah. Jesus came to redeem you. There it is. The act of buying back something that was previously lost. How many of you were lost? You see, I was lost. I was living my own life. I was drinking all the time. Had my wife, you stay home, I'll go play. I thought I was having fun. I thought I was having a good time. Till my mom told me, hey, I told your wife to divorce you. No woman needs to live with a drunk. Whoo, that, I didn't, yeah, I just said, Mom, put it off. Because I was drunk at the time. And then when I went to work the next morning, hungover, all I could think of, and I know that's how Holy Spirit works. I know how he works. He says things to you. Is that right? All I could think of, Mom said, told my wife to divorce me. I'm not a handsome character, so I had to work hard to pick up my wife. I mean, some of y'all, it just comes easy, but not me, man. I had to, whatever, you don't want to know. Praise God. So one thing I didn't want to do was lose my wife. I said, I can't, God. I said, what? I realized something that I had been telling her for years that I was going to quit drinking. I was going to say, I'm going to quit drinking, babe. It got to, oh, okay. I'm going to quit drinking for Lent, babe. How many of you know what Lent is? It's only 40 days. 40 days. First week, busted. One got drunk. I said, next year, babe. So it got to the point, I'm going to quit drinking. She said, yeah, right. That was her answer. So when I went to work hungover and went into an electrical vault, a man spoke to me about Jesus that led me to the Lord and said, hey, man, when I saw him, I asked him, hey, are you a pastor? Because that's what we're you know, when you're working a mine, people talk about each other and say, hey, that guy's one of them holy rollers, man. I said, right, yeah, okay. So I asked him, hey, are you a pastor? And he goes, yeah, I'm kind of in between. I'm trying to start a church in Green Valley. I said, oh, okay. And he goes, he asked me, do you know Jesus? And I, in my best way, I said, I'm a Catholic. Hungover, I'm a Catholic. And he looked at me and said, I didn't ask you that. I asked you if you knew Jesus. And I looked at him and I felt in my heart, I said, can you know him? I said, no, I don't know him. He says, you want to know him? I said, yeah, I do. So he took me down two flights of stairs and over a garbage can. He led me to the Lord, showed me some scripture, led me to the Lord. And when he said that, I wanted to cry like a baby. I felt like crying. And all I knew is I wanted to get away from him. I said, hey, I got to go, man. He goes, well, let me show you some more scriptures. You know how pastors are, right? Let me show you scripture. Yeah. What are you doing today? Let me show you scripture. Oh, man. Isn't that right? Pastors are? That's the way Pastor John is, anyway. No, just kidding. No. But I'm saying, hey, I gotta go. And he goes, let me show you. I said, hey, see you, man. I just kind of pushed him out of the way and I ran up and I just began to weep. And it was a weeping that, how many of you, I had no idea really why I was weeping so hard. It was coming out of my innermost being. It was flowing out of me, these tears and everything. And I said something at that time. I said, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm not sure where I heard it from, but it came out of my mouth. And when I said King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I felt this warmth. It felt like this blanket came on me, man. I go, oh. And then I said it again. Whoa. I'm walking through this driveway. It's a long driveway. It's got a bunch of machinery running. It was getting close to lunchtime. I'm walking through this driveway and it's noisy. And I go, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I go, whoa. And so if anybody might've been watching me, they probably look pretty weird, huh? I'd be walking along. I said, and I walk around a little bit. Like, yeah, it was, but it was amazing to me. So, man, I used to stop at Circle K and buy 3 6-packs of beer every day, right? This Circle K right here. And drive home and make sure that I had them all drank that night. And I just a social drinker. But anyway, I beelined for the house. I went straight home from the mine. I didn't even go by Circle K like my normal time was. And I actually thought about it when I was going, man, I didn't go by Circle K. Praise God. Walked in the house, told my wife, honey, I quit drinking. She looked at me, she said, shut up. I go, Oh, yeah, you're mad at me. I forgot. I had found something new, and I just could not believe what I'd stepped into. Isn't that crazy? Is that how it is for you? Jesus, it's just incredible how he changed my life in just an instant. Since that day, that was August 8th, 1979, I haven't drank a beer. Never drank. I don't drink wine. I tasted a beer a few months later on, and it just tasted horrible to me. I said, I can't drink this. I won't drink this. It's like a pig, washed pig running back into the mire. Is that right? I said, no, I ain't going to do this no more. And I honor the Lord by what he's done for me. I honor him by saying, no. Remember when Jesus said about the wine, he says, I'm going to drink it with you afresh in the kingdom. Remember him saying that? That's why I said, Lord, when I get off this place, I'll drink wine with you. That's where I'm going to drink. That's where I'll drink. And it's going to be, how many know the wine that God gives is good wine? It's got some good wine. Yeah. Beats Boone's Farm apple. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Some of you guys are going, what is that? Some of the kids are younger people. Boone's Farm. Anyway, hallelujah. But Jesus was sent. It says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, made of a woman, under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Can I just tell you something? The word of God, what's he talking about being under the law? You see, the law of Moses pinpointed sin that was in men. And Jesus came to redeem men, you and I, from the law. You see, now there's a law we step into when we meet Jesus. Romans 8, chapter 2 says this. It says, for the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Is that right? How many of you know that? You read that scripture. This law that's in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. So God has broken anything in your life that is contrary to the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to tell you, it's a beautiful thing when you realize that what God has done for you is bigger than you ever even imagined. He didn't just pay for your sins. He paid so that you can have life and life more what? Abundant. It's called abundant life. Living a life that is full of life. Amen? Hallelujah. So it says this. So Jesus was sent for you. Amen. I was looking at the word sent in the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John in the King James, because I don't know, a lot of you have different translations, but I will tell you, the Spirit of God will speak to you no matter what translation you've got. Amen. It's not so much what's important. I know there's some folks that even separate themselves because they have, well, I read this Bible. Yeah. Okay, cool. He said, well, I read this. You need to get rid of your Bible. Come on, man. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. See, it's not the translation, it's the translator. The Holy Spirit is the translator. He's the one that speaks these words to you so you clearly understand them. Can I tell you that God wants you to clearly understand him? He's not a God that wants you in this fog where you're not sure about anything. He wants you to know, hey, there's a clarity to the gospel of Christ. There's a clarity that I bring to you because I know you, because he knows you better than you know yourself. He knows how many hairs are on your head. Is that right? Take a count one of these days. Try counting one of these days. Just say, Lord, how many hairs are on my head? Please let me know. Get me out of this. Because he knows you so well. He knows how to speak to you. He knows what will affect you. He knows what won't affect you. But I will tell you one thing, that the Holy Spirit will take even one word, maybe two words, and take it into your heart, and he'll talk to you about it. Isn't that cool? Because he loves you. Because he died on a cross for you. There's not a lot of religions out there that where who they're serving has died on a cross. Is that right? How many do you know? I don't know hardly any. I don't know any. Jesus died on a cross to redeem you. Hallelujah. Praise God. But Jesus had said, I was looking in the King James Version. Jesus himself said that he was sent 39 times. 39. Isn't that crazy? I know the word of God says, verily, verily, I say unto you. That means truly, truly, I will say to you. Whatever he speaks, I mean, and the word of God, I love the word of God. The Bible says by two or three witnesses shall anything be established. Is that right? So if you're looking at the Bible and you say, well, you know, I'm supposed to go jump off a cliff because Judas jumped off a cliff. Find that again somewhere else in the Bible. God's not going to tell you to jump off a cliff. God will establish his word in your heart, but he uses it all over the word of God so that he can establish a truth within you. Is that okay? He's trying to establish truth within you. He's trying to show you who he is by the truth he speaks to you. Isn't that cool? So what he's doing, he's building you and strengthening you. And when Jesus said he was sent, he said it 39 times. 39. That's over and over and over again, saying, I've been sent. I was sent. He was sent for you. Came out of the realm of heaven to come for you, to pay for your sins, and to bring everlasting light to you. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want to just show you a few of these scriptures. John chapter 4, verse 34 says this. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that what? Sent me, and to finish his work. That's what he said, that's what I do. I do the will of him that sent me, and that's so I can finish his work. John 6:38, for I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Is that cool? Sent. And that's two. I only got 37 more to read to you. Just kidding, man. I'm going to give you one more. John chapter 7, verse 29 says this. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. See, you can't be sent unless you're from. Is that right? Is that right? How many of you sent Amazon boxes? Anybody? For Christmas present, anybody sent an Amazon box? I'm starting to get Amazon boxes at my house. My wife orders stuff on Amazon. My son's ordering stuff on Amazon. So when I get them to the house, I don't know which one to open. I say, hey, so we got to start looking at all these, what do they call them, shipping numbers or tracking numbers or whatever, man. So we figure out who's a who. But you got to be somewhere. You got to be, if you're sent, you got to be from somewhere. Is that right? Jesus was sent. There's one place where he says that, Father, that they might know that you sent me. You sent me. So it's so important that we know. And it's Christmas holiday. You know what? There's a lot of people. We celebrate Christmas. A lot of people don't even have any idea what God has done for them in that thing that they're celebrating. Boy, they'll put up their lights, they'll put up their trees, they'll do everything, they'll go buy the gifts and everything. You ask them about Jesus, they say, oh, I don't. Come on, man. What's the matter? Hey, he's the light of the world. God sent him into the world. Hallelujah. And he sent to redeem you. I want you to just look at verse 5 says this, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore art thou no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read this to you. Hallelujah. I want you to see something that Jesus is. Maybe. Glory to God. How How many believe Jesus was the greatest gift you can ever receive? You believe that? Yeah, this is the greatest gift. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1, it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. How you know it's important that you seek God with your whole heart? Amen. Have you ever been seeking God and then just start thinking about your house, your truck, your boyfriend, girlfriend? It's God says, I want you to seek me with all your heart. And he says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. He's commanded us to keep them. How many of you say amen to that? Do you know that he loves it when you keep his precepts? Do you know he loves it? And you know, it's not hard. How many of you know that? Can I just say that you were not born in sin? I mean, you were born in sin, but you were not born to sin. That's not how God creates people. God does not create people to sin. You were born in sin, and he redeemed you. Now, the way that God has created you, you should be able to walk in righteousness and in life. Is that cool? That's cool. It says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect to all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto unto according to thy word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I enjoyed that piece of scripture. I mean, say amen. Did you like that? Did you guys like that? Thank you. I love it. I love the word of God. Can you put up Psalm 111? I'm sorry. I was wondering, where's the scripture that I was seeing? I was going to bounce off a scripture. I mean, you know what I mean by bounce off a scripture? There's something that God is saying to me. And there's something that and I'm looking for. I go, where's it at? So here you go. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure in. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. How many know that? How many remember what God has done with Moses and with Adam? He's made all of his works to be remembered. Is that right? That's cool. Think about that just for a while, man. Just think about how he causes his things to be remembered. You know, well, there's a lot of things. How many of you know that you've heard that saying that a lot of people just remember the bad things about you, but they never remember the good things. Is that right? Well, God has made his works to be remembered. And then he says this, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. How many say amen to that? Are you glad he is? He's full of compassion. He has given meat to them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He shows his people the power of his works that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. How many like that? The power of his works that he might give you the heritage of the heathen. You're sitting in the heritage of the heathen right now. Do you know that? This was operated. This bowling alley didn't belong to anybody that knew the Lord. But now it does. Now it's God's house. Amen? Come on, man. So here he goes. He gives him the heritage of the heathen, and the works of his hands are truth. The verity is truth. Verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. Right there where it says he sent redemption for his people. He sent redemption to you, and he came in the form of Jesus. That's, he has redeemed you. You know what else he sent to you? Well, let's check. See, God is good. He sends things to you. I mean, how many want, God, send me something. I like getting on my table or in the bedroom and say, God, send me something. Open something to me, Lord. Show me something I haven't seen before. And you know what? A lot of times he opens things. I go, oh my goodness, I never seen this. Show me something. Show it to me somewhere else. But see, he wants you to see the things that he has for you. He sent you redemption. Amen? He sends it to you. Psalm 107, verses 20 and 21. Says, watch this. Verse 20 says, he sent his word and what? Delivered them from their destructions. How many say, God, I want to be delivered from my destructions? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works of the children of men. He sent his word. His name is Jesus. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus was the word of God in the flesh. Amen. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Can I tell you that whatever's going on in your life, if there's an element of destruction happening, you can stand and just say, God, I believe that you sent. I'll give you an example. My son-in-law called me and was upset because he was in a store by himself. They co-own a store with Saqib and Natasha, and he was by himself in the store, and someone had, is that right? Walked away with something, right? He was by himself in the store. He could not go chase them anywhere because he was by himself. So all he could do is just watch them fade off in the distance with the big U of A letter on the back of it. I don't know. But when I heard it, I said, Lord, you said that you were sent to deliver them from their destructions. See, that's destructive, isn't it? It's not constructive, it's destructive. Because it will try to tear down your life. If people are stealing how many of you ever had somebody steal from you? How many have you ever felt that, what you feel inside, it feels like, man, they stole from me. You get this weird feeling. And see, it's destructive and not constructive. God doesn't want that in your life. He wants to be building you constantly. So he wants to be constructive to you. So when I heard about that thing, I said, Lord, redeem that. I don't know how and I don't know when, but I believe you're redeeming that. And what they're telling me right now is that the business is going good. Is that right? They're selling like crazy. Hallelujah. Could probably even give away a few things if they wanted to. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Can I tell you it's better to give than to say? Is that right? How many of you are getting something this weekend? Well, I hope you get something out of this sermon. Come on, man. I caught you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, okay. So he sent his word and healed them. Can I tell you, it's still real. It's still a truth that God sent his son to heal you. Whatever's going on in your body, you speak, you stand on God's word, say, God, Jesus died for this. And he rose from the dead so that you could put your stamp of approval on what he's done for. And so, God, I'm saying Jesus died for this. So, Lord, thank you for it. And walk in it. Just walk in it. Paul the Apostle says, I keep my body under subjection. So speak to your body. Do you know that words are important? Speak to your body. Say, by his stripes, I am healed. He sent his word and healed them. Last of all, he sent his son. And John chapter 20, verse 21. I want you to look at the scripture real quick. John 20, verse 21. This is what God says. This is Jesus when he is praying, when he is talking to his apostles. He said, then Jesus said again to them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so I send you. Can I tell you that you are sent by the kingdom of God? Jesus has sent you into the world to seek and to save those that are lost. That's what we do. Amen? Hallelujah. So this week, in the midst of all the Christmas things going on, in the midst of all that, this week, ask for God, at least, God, give me one person that doesn't know you. And I will tell you, look, just somebody that doesn't know him, ask God for them and speak to them. Don't try to make them come to our church. Don't try. I mean, is that weird for a pastor to say? That's weird, huh? You tell them, hey, God loves you. Ask him And he'll show you where to go. You'll find a body of believers somewhere. But find a body of believers. Go out and win the lost. Amen? He sent you. He sent Jesus. Jesus dwells in you. So guess what? He sent you. So let's pray. Could you stand this morning? Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for all that you're doing. We ask you, Father God, that you would, Father, open your word to us. Lord, show us the things that we need, that we are desiring, Father God, to know about you. Lord, if there's anybody in this house today, Father, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would speak to them, lead them, guide them to you, so that they might know without a doubt that you love them and you are for them. And you will take them and bless them, because that's what you desire. Thank you for it. Praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.